Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, namahi nui kia koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at Cab, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well.
Last month, we talked with Graham Burgess about the excellent initiatives happening at Delta. This month, our conversation focuses more on Delta's place in the wider community and the wonderful relationships that it shares with other organisations, all of whom support and champion each other. Welcome, Graham. Great to be back with you.
Welcome back. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming back to Delta. And I'm looking forward to catching up again.
I was going to ask you something about Delta, because I'm curious as to where the names come from.
But Delta, the letters are triangle. One of the original founders, Mike Coleman, felt that that symbol perfectly captured the vision of Delta, something holistic that supported both physical, emotional and spiritual.
Okay, and three parts of the triangle.
Yeah, and it also reflected the faith background of the church.
Okay.
Of course, we're born out of the North Avon Baptist
church
that was on this site. When I started it just over a year and a half ago, there were three problems that everybody talked to me about. One was, where's the money coming from? And that's still a question today. The other is, where's the food coming from? And in large parts, that's not as much of a problem today, which is fantastic news. And then the last one is communication. And because you've got so many part-time staff, because you've got volunteers who are only here for a couple of hours or they're only here in the afternoons, how do you actually get that message to everybody in a way that they feel as though they're well informed, that they matter, and that they feel as though they're hearing it all at the same time, which is absolutely impossible. But
it's an ongoing dilemma for our organisation as well. So with our new recruits, we're really emphasising that there's only a few pieces of communication that you'll get from us, and who they are and when you'll get them.
Mm.
And we really expect you to learn them, you know, to read those things, because it's very hard otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah.
But people being people have busy lives and doing lots of other things, they don't prioritise reading those things.
No, and of course, if it's anything like me, those things just become quite long and unwieldy. As a group, we've decided that we'll do a fortnightly newsletter where everybody feeds into it. And then I'll take that newsletter and I'll go around and find as many people as I can to share it with them face to face.
Right.
So in the hope that, you know, they've got the opportunity to ask questions and find out a wee bit more. One of the challenges that we have here is that nobody really knows who Delta is.
No, well,
it's this quiet, unassuming. But actually, we're blessed with amazing facilities. You know, if I sit here and say, oh, yeah, so I'm from Ronald McDonald House. Everybody go, yeah. And you go, oh, I'm from Delta. And you go, oh, that's nice. What do they do? And so, you know, we've captured some of that here. Some of our challenges are, this is the old Shirley Rugby site. If we were still in Shirley old rugby site, you're grassroots, you're doing it tough, you know. This end of the building 4 years ago, the other end 5 years ago, it's all rebuilt thanks to the earthquakes. It looks fantastic, but we're grassroots. You know, we've got a huge mortgage to pay on this place. We are a heavy lifter in salaries, much larger than the most. I think that's possibly just how it's evolved, and they go, oh, I'll give you a job, we'll fundraise, we'll find some money for that somewhere. But, you know, in the year and a half I've been here, I've lost count of the number of people who have told me, people, you know, with long histories in charities, just saying, this is the hardest it's ever been. And I go home and Claire gives me a pat on the back and go, well done, what a great career choice to join charities that put it in. And it's not getting any easier. at the council here yesterday, talking about they're no longer doing multi-year funding. They can only do it 1 year at a time. Our two Fatarora contract, it's just a year-by-year contract.
Yeah, I know that. Actors has got one. I was talking with Rachel around that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not good enough, really. It's not good enough for organisations to not have some sort of sense of, you know, ongoing commitment to...
One of the drivers for me, my role before here was director of student engagement at Lincoln University. And it's gone, well, here's your budget, 6.7 million. These are the targets you want to get, right? And that's, you know, in education, we're pretty spoilt in working that way. Engineering, when I was at UC, we're a $160 million business.
Oh, yeah, because it was engineering. It certainly wasn't in education.
No, definitely
that not. Was slash and burn. Two-thirds of staff went.
I set up the School of Product Design at Canterbury University with Professor Conan Fee. And although universities and most educational institutions work, if you've got students, we'll give you money. And if you haven't got any students, you've got to beg, steal and borrow. And I think that's probably why I don't do too badly here. And we set up a brand new school and degree program by beg, stealing and borrowing, by collaborating. So when we set up the School of Product Design, one of the things we looked at, as in most universities, if you set up a new degree program that has a business paper, you'd normally employ a business academic to come and teach that paper. But our approach at Canterbury University was, okay, it's got business papers. We've got a school of business. So we encouraged, and we established a program to send all our students over to the School of Business.
Yeah,
we got science papers, so we actually sent our students to the College of Science, had engineering papers, so they went to engineering, and so on. And as we sold the School of Product Design program, we were saying to students, you'll probably be the most popular students on campus because you're all over the place mixing it up. And learning in different areas from the experts in those areas. And that's the approach that we brought to community work here at Delta as well, is the fact that we don't have to be the experts at everything.
No, you can't. It's a replication of effort.
Yeah. We just have to know who they are and how we can connect them or be champions for those other groups as well.
Mm.
And it's an approach that worked incredibly well at the University of Canterbury, and it's an approach that works incredibly well in community as well. And I think funders
like it as
well.
That's what we do. That's at the heart of the way we work. We do everything we possibly can to give as much information and options to people, but we don't tell them what to do, but we connect them with other organisations who can have that specialism that we don't have.
Yeah, and that's a really important thing to acknowledge as well, is the fact that we're here to walk alongside and to help people. But at the end of the day, as they say, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So I've gotten into a role where funding is incredibly, incredibly hard. We do say I have some amazing funders, the likes of RATA, DIA, Dove, Recycle Kingdom, Christchurch City Council, Sunrise Rotary, who meet round the corner, are true champions of the work that we're doing here as well. So we're blessed to have those, but it is a constant focus. I have a staff member whose role is to fundraise, and over the last 3 weeks she just worked solidly from home, just trying to get applications to close that funding gap. So anything
that's what we do, except we're just doing, our board funding committee does that.
So
it's just ongoing.
Anything the community can do to help us in that space, whether it's the volunteering, whether it's
donations,
time, or even whether it's just word of mouth, sharing what we do with the community, because you never know who's going to hear it and what impact they may have. It might be that I didn't know that existed, I could use their service, I need that help. Or it could be, actually, I can help them, I'm really keen to volunteer. Or it could be, I'd like to donate something and really help them on that mission as well. So we welcome all of those.
Of course.
Hit the website, get in there and come and help us out in that space.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to invite you to come in and talk with our volunteers at some stage too.
Love to.
So you'll get the word out a bit more, you know, what's going on in Richmond, because I know there are other things too.
So we had Billy Osteen.
Yeah, I know Billy. I used to work with him.
He did his...
Christchurch 101. Yeah, I know. We know
Richmond.
That. Yep.
So all their students came and did stories, five-minute stories about all the different groups. And we held the premiere here.
Nice.
The walls open up and got big screens and that sort
nice.
Of thing. And it was lovely. Just an amazingly passionate students and a fantastic opportunity to sort of share our story as well. But also to see the amazing work that goes on in this community alone.
Well, this community, I think, has a real reputation. You know, I mean, it is. There's huge amounts of stuff going on here, and from Richmond right the way through. Yeah,
I think the likes community. Of Jane at Shirley Community Trust and Hayley Guglietta does amazing work in the Richmond area. Murray James does the most amazing Santa Claus, but Hayley and Murray, you know, have been the driving force behind a lot of the change. A lot of the initiatives in the Richmond area. We're so blessed to have them in our community, and not only because of their drive, but just for their whizzing it up. And the rest of the crew across the road do such incredible work.
Yeah, I don't know Jane, so I must meet her.
Massive advocates for the community.
Yeah.
And the other chap out of the Shirley is... Steve Poole Jones, ex-policeman, I think, community policeman. Absolutely incredible work in sort of galvanising community to get out there and be proactive.
You've mentioned quite a few. You mentioned like working with Kairos and various things around the food security stuff.
Yeah.
But other organisations that you actually work closely with within the community, or other organisations that are doing similar things to you, or different things that dovetail in with your work or whatever?
So one of the really important things, and we've been very purposeful about this, is we're champions of everybody in the community. When we're looking at our programs and where we see the gaps in the community are, the first things we do is we have a look, see who's already here. And the last thing we need to do, you know, if we have five people come to us and go, oh, really keen to volunteer and be gardener. We've got Richmond Community Gardens just across the road. So what we'd say is, come meet us here on Tuesday. We'll all have a coffee and then we'll all go over together and support Richmond Community Gardens. And so when we're thinking about what we do here and thinking about the challenges we see of people coming through the door, first thing to do is to look outward and go, well, who's already doing this sort of thing? You've seen from the facilities we've got here with fantastic halls and some beautiful spaces. We could quite easily run an Oscar programme, but there's one just up the road. So so let's champion that. Community becomes stronger if we champion each other and actually work together. So we're really excited and we're thrilled to bits to have the likes of the Richmond, We Are Richmond group and all the work that they do there. They're such big champions of the work that we do. And so we're constantly sort of in and out. Take Christmas, for example. They'd obviously done a harvest of a whole heap of fruits and veggies through the year. And they just come in and use our registered kitchens. So they're all making pickles to go back and sell at the market. And that's how really community should work. I remember I spoke at our vision day for Delta, where we had all our staff and volunteers together and talking about what did our village look like. And instead of looking at it as organisations that we go to for support, so they described the idea that, you know, if your bike's broken, you have to go to the bike shop. If you need finance advice, you have to go to your accountant. Or if you're looking for catering, you'd go to a catering shop. But actually, if you have a deep dive into your community, you've got somebody who loves repairing things, who can fix your bike. You've got an aunt who lives up the street who loves baking, or a friend who's great at accounts. You don't have to use these services. You've actually got a community of skill. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a community with needs, you now have a community that can go, oh, I can help you there. And so where we're at and how we work with other community organisations in Richmond is, these are the skills that you've got. Let's lean into that. These are the skills that we've got. And let's look at people who come through the door as people with skills, not with people with needs, but how can we help them to then better use the skills that they have to support the community and ongoing. One of the things that we ran before Christmas was cooking on a budget. And so we had 12 community members just come into the kitchen, and we gave them a whole rundown on how to do a Christmas dinner on a budget, and teaching them skills. So if you haven't got this, you can do that. And then at the end of it, we gave them all the food to take home with them so that they can go and cook that meal at home with their family. Some of the important stuff, and this, the cooking on a budget, will start again in a month or two's time. But one of the key things here is we're trying to break some of these cycles where we'll educate you around food. If you think back to when we were giving 400 food parcels away, it was very much, here's your food parcel.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, might not have known what to do with the food in the food parcel. So here we are, we're using that food now and saying, this is how you can, this is how you cook, this is what the ingredients are, this is the best way to use them. Here's the recipe, here's the food. Before you go home, let's sit and eat together the meal that you've cooked. So that coming together, that connection, that conversation over food. And then we give them the food parcel. They go home and they cook that for the family. So now you've got the kids seeing their parents cooking meals from raw material, you know, from scratch. Mm. And hopefully that sort of breaks the cycle and inspires, you know, a new generation of people who are interested and keen to cook.
So, again, it comes back to empowerment, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And building the skills.
Ailey, that you could picture his face, that runs sort of Ailey's sidekick through all of this. They do such amazing, so driven. They're also involved in the inner city orchard on the Avon, the old CTV space, just next to there. Again, about sort of bringing community together. I catch up with Kaylee quite a lot and talk about what they're up to and those sorts of things. And also Vicky Buck, when she established Climate Action Campus just across the river. And so when we were doing our food bank, we were actually on the Climate Action Campus when we moved the food stores over to there as well. Two incredible women doing amazing, amazing work and really focused on community and uplifting and connecting. Richmond as an area got so beaten by the earthquakes and lost so much, but it's only through the resilience of the people here and their dogged determination to actually bring Richmond back to life that you see all of this amazing stuff like Revolution. They come over and talk to us about recycling and give us educational bits. Rachel Crawford is such an advocate for the community and raising the profile.
She's just a dynamo too, isn't she?
Yeah, amazing, amazing people. What us also not seen is just how many volunteer hours our staff give as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Granted, they're part-time paid, but...
working full-time hours.
Yeah, which, we're forever grateful for. I think for me, I do a 40-hour week, so we do... The pay runs fortnightly, so but on average, I'm sort of 110, 120 hours a fortnight. But we write it off as just volunteer hours. But it is, it's that hidden support that that we're managing to give the community. Should be recognised by government, really, and should be funded because it's, like you say, it saves millions.
Well, and City Council, because there seems to be quite strong rumours at the moment that they're thinking of cutting funding for community organisations.
Yeah, and I think that comes from rates caps and all of those sorts of things, right, where their income is capped and therefore where do you look to save? In Richmond. It's probably the luckiest role I could have ever taken with the amount of support and the willingness of all community groups that I've engaged with to share their journey, to share their school of hard knocks, so that hopefully we might avoid some of those. But like, it goes both ways. We share a lot of the learnings that we've had and tried to shed light on what we're doing and what our hopes are. It's quite different from, you know, thankfully we're not Pepsi and Coca-Cola, where everything is top secret. In the community, and for everybody I've engaged with in this community, they're all just so willing to share and support each other and champion each other. It's just great. It's a really, really good place to be in that respect. That, you know, when you're running an organisation that's for people, it needs people to deliver that service. And so many people want to fund a new oven or want to fund a short project. But actually, what we really need are funders who can walk alongside us, who want to be part of this journey, who are happy to fund operational costs to keep the lights on, to pay the mortgages, to pay our staff, and the opportunity, you know, for us to, it would be amazing to partner with a large organisation that wants to really have some big impact in the community. I'd love to talk to those people. And we've been blessed by RATA to receive funding to engage Impact Lab, which is an organisation based up in Wellington that deal in data and sharing insights and stories from data. And as a charity that's evolved over the years, you know, our first learning lesson is, well, what does good data look like? What should we be collecting? And then they'll come back again in you know, sort of 6-12 months time and go, okay, thanks for the data. This is your impact. This is what you're doing to help us tell our story better. So hopefully other funders and other organisations go, I get in on that. You know, it makes sense. I can see what you're doing there. But it's learning. It's learning what good data and how to tell a good story is. That's the trick. I think that starts next month, some data collection around that. Really good. Just to be able to point at something and look at the difference we're making. We know we are making a difference, but to be able to just actually really underline that with data would be really, really good.
Well, it must be, you know, despite all of the huge challenges, it must be just so uplifting knowing that you're actually doing something that matters, that makes a difference to people's lives. It's just, it's incredible, really, isn't it?
It is absolutely.
It's not just about lining your own pocket. It's about, you know.
And we'd be in different careers.
Yeah, we would be.
if that was what it was about. Yeah. But it is. It's about supporting and seeing the community grow. I mean, you know, some of the biggest smiles on my face is coming in and seeing Friendship Link members, you know, running Flourish.
Yeah.
Seeing how far they've come. The smiles are always there on their faces, regardless of how their lives are or how they're going. They're so incredibly positive all the time. You can't help but feel inspired by what they're achieving. Mm. So yeah, that keeps us going, and we know when we see that we're heading in the right direction. For me, my biggest worry is to make sure that this is here for another 30 years. That's going to be the
hand over to
big
kids.
Challenge. Yes, indeed. Get them back to work on it. But thank you very so much for coming in. It's cool. So nice to meet you.
It's good.
So nice to see you again.
Yeah.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Today, Graham talked about Delta's community outreach. It was enlightening to hear how seamlessly organisations can actually work together to support and champion each other. Along with the pleasures, of course, of working alongside a team of dedicated and enthusiastic staff. And finally, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next month, mā te wā.
Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at CAB, in person, by phone, emails and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora, thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.